The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 3. How virtues are accomplished by means of our neighbor, and how it is that virtues differ to such an extent in creatures. I have told you how all sins are accomplished by means of your neighbor, through the principles which I expose to you. That is, because men are deprived of the affection of love, which gives light to every virtue. In the same way, self-love, which destroys charity and affection toward the neighbor, is the principle and foundation of every evil. All scandals, hatred, cruelty, and every sort of trouble proceed from this perverse root of self-love, which has poisoned the entire world and weakened the mystical body of the Holy Church and the universal body of the believers in the Christian religion. And therefore I said to you that it was in the neighbor, that is to say, in the love of him, that all virtues were founded. And truly indeed did I say to you that charity gives life to all the virtues, because no virtue can be obtained without charity, which is the pure love of me. Wherefore, when the soul knows it herself, as we have said above, she finds humility and hatred of her own sensual passion. For she learns the perverse law which is bound up in her members, and which ever fights against the spirit. And therefore, arising with hatred of her own sensuality, crushing it under the heel of reason, with great earnestness, she discovers in herself the bounty of my goodness, through the many benefits which she has received from me, all of which she considers again in herself. She attributes to me, through humility, the knowledge which she has obtained of herself, knowing that by my grace I have drawn her out of darkness and lifted her up into the light of true knowledge. When she has recognized my goodness, she loves it without any medium, and yet, at the same time, with a medium, that is to say, without the medium of herself or of any advantage accruing to herself, and with the medium of virtue, which she has conceived through love of me, because she sees that in no other way can she become grateful and acceptable to me, but by conceiving hatred of sin and love of virtue. And when she is thus conceived by the affection of love, she immediately is delivered of fruit for her neighbor, because in no other way can she act out the truth she has conceived in herself, but loving me in truth, in the same truth she serves her neighbor. And it cannot be otherwise, because love of me and of her neighbor are one and the same thing. And so far as the soul loves me, she loves her neighbor, because love toward him issues from me. This is the means which I have given you, that you may exercise and prove your virtue therewith. Because inasmuch as you can do me no profit, you should do it to your neighbor. This proves that you possess me by grace in your soul, producing much fruit for your neighbor and making prayers to me, seeking with sweet and amorous desire my honor and the salvation of souls. The soul, enamored of my truth, never ceases to serve the whole world in general, and more or less, in a particular case, according to the disposition of the recipient and the ardent desire of the donor, as I have shown above, when I declared to you that the endurance of suffering alone, without desire, was not sufficient to punish a fault. When she has discovered the advantage of this unitive love in me, by means of which she truly loves herself, extending her desire for the salvation of the whole world, thus coming to the aid of its neediness, she strives, inasmuch as she has done good to herself by the conception of virtue, from which she has drawn the life of grace, to fix her eye on the needs of her neighbor in particular. Wherefore, when she has discovered through the affection of love the state of all rational creatures in general, she helps those who are at hand, according to the various graces which I have entrusted to her to administer. One she helps with doctrine, that is, with words, giving sincere counsel without any respect of persons. another with the example of a good life. And this, indeed, all give to their neighbor the edification of a holy and honorable life. These are the virtues, and many others, too many to enumerate, which are brought forth in the love of the neighbor. But although I have given them in such a different way, that is to say, not all to one, but to one virtue, and to another, it so happens that it is impossible to have one without having them all, because all the virtues are bound together. Wherefore learn that in many cases I give one virtue to be, as it were, the chief of the others. That is to say, to one I will give principally love, to another justice, to another humility, to another a lively faith, to another prudence or temperance or patience, to another fortitude. These and many other virtues I place indifferently in the souls of many creatures. It happens, therefore, that the particular one so placed in the soul becomes the principal object of its virtue, the soul disposing herself for her chief conversation to this rather than to other virtues, and by the effect of this virtue, the soul draws to herself all the other virtues, which, as has been said, are all bound together in the affection of love. And so, with many gifts and graces of virtue, and not only in the case of spiritual things, but also of temporal. I use the word temporal for the things necessary to the physical life of man. All these I have given indifferently, and I have not placed them all in one soul, in order that man should, perforce, have material for love of his fellow. I could easily have created men possessed of all they should need both for body and soul. But I wish one should have need of the other, and that they should be my ministers to administer the graces and the gifts that they have received from me. Whether man will or no, he cannot help making an act of love. It is true, however, that act, unless made through love of me, profits him nothing so far as grace is concerned. See, then, that I have made men my ministers, and placed them in divers stations and various ranks, in order that they may make use of the virtue of love. Wherefore, I show you that in my house are many mansions, and that I wish for no other thing than love. For in the love of me is fulfilled and completed the love of the neighbor, and the law observed. For he only can be of use in his state of life, who is bound to me with this love. How virtues are tested and fortified by their contraries. Up to the present, I have taught you how a man may serve his neighbor, and manifest by that service the love which he has toward me. Now I wish to tell you further that a man tests his patience on his neighbor when he receives injuries from him. Similarly, he proves his humility on a proud man, his faith on an infidel, his true hope on one who despairs, his justice on the unjust, his kindness on the cruel, his gentleness and benignity on the irascible. Good men produce and prove all their virtues on their neighbor, just as perverse men all their vices. Thus, if you consider well, humility is tested on pride in this way. The humble man extinguishes pride, because a proud man can do no harm to a humble one. Neither can the infidelity of a wicked man who neither loves me nor hopes in me, when brought forth against one who is faithful to me, do him any harm. His infidelity does not diminish the faith or the hope of him who has conceived his faith and hope through love of me. It rather fortifies it, and proves it in the love he feels for his neighbor. For he sees that the infidel is unfaithful because he is without hope in me, and in my servant because he does not love me, placing his faith and hope rather in his own sensuality, which is all that he loves. My faithful servant does not leave him because he does not faithfully love me, or because he does not constantly seek with hope in me for his salvation. Inasmuch as he sees clearly the causes of his infidelity and lack of hope, the virtue of faith is proved in these and other ways. Wherefore, to those who need the proof of it, my servant proves his faith in himself and in his neighbor, and so justice is not diminished by the wicked man's injustice, but is rather proved, that is to say, the justice of a just man. Similarly, the virtues of patience, benignity, and kindness manifest themselves in a time of wrath by the same sweet patience in my servants, and envy, vexation, and hatred demonstrate their love and hunger and desire for the salvation of souls. I say also to you that not only is virtue proved in those who render good for evil, but that many times a good man gives back fiery coals of love, which dispel the hatred and rancor of the heart of the angry, and so from hatred often comes benevolence, and that this is by virtue of the love and perfect patience which is in him, who sustains the anger of the wicked, bearing and supporting his defects. If you will observe the virtues of fortitude and perseverance, these virtues are proved by the long endurance of the injuries and detractions of wicked men, who, whether by injuries or by flattery, constantly endeavor to turn a man aside from following the road and the doctrine of truth. Wherefore, in all these things, the virtue of fortitude conceived within the soul perseveres with strength, and in addition proves itself externally upon the neighbor, as I have said to you. And if fortitude were not able to make that good proof of itself, being tested by many contrarieties, it would not be a serious virtue founded in truth.